You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I'd say a good show lined up for you. Of course, we got Tom and Harvey producing the show back in the studio. I'm with you for the next 3 hours. Bob Wischusen's going to join us on the show. We just heard a clip from Robert Saleh talking about Zach Wilson, excited to get back on the football field, traveling to Pittsburgh to take on a Pittsburgh Steelers team. Thank goodness no TJ Watt trying to run him down. So that's a positive. So lengthy discussion we will have with Bob Wischusen about Zach Wilson getting back into action, making his NFL debut this coming Sunday at 1 o'clock, which, by the way, reminder, you can listen to the show right here on 98.7 ESPN. So also we'll talk about what's going on with the Giants as well. Disappointing loss on Thursday night, of course. Sunday night. Thursday night is tomorrow. And of course, that is Cincinnati and Miami. So disappointing loss on Monday night with, of course, the Giants going up against the Dallas Cowboys. Some injuries for the Giants in that regard. And so we'll talk Giants, we'll talk Jets, we'll talk NFL, we'll talk some fantasy, getting ready for week four. Can you believe it's week four of the NFL season? But I do want to start the show talking about, of course, the Yankees. As we were just moments away, first pitch is in about 3 minutes. By the way, you know me. If you do, you know I ran into a very nice woman today at the dog park, and she said, I told my husband that I run into you at the dog park, and he calls you the degenerate. Should I take that as a compliment? I think I should, right? The fact that some random woman at the dog park recognized me, but her husband calls me a degenerate.
So, first
of all, a lot to unpack there, Tom. I know you're going to tread lightly. I know you're going to tread lightly, but this is what happened. This is what happened this evening.
So first of all, hi everyone. Mm-hmm. I will tread lightly. you know what? I'm just happy that if you like being recognized out in public, then this is a great thing. I don't know about the degenerate comment so much, but I mean, if you take it as a compliment, then I will support you, but I would not see that as a compliment necessarily.
So I was called a degenerate today by a woman at the and who didn't seem to me as like a huge sports fan, but obviously her husband is, and is shocked that she met me at the dog park, but nonetheless, listen, it's tongue in cheek, it's fine. If you know anything about me, I'm easily approachable. Come say hi. I'm happy to talk to folks. It's great. And I think it's funny that I'm labeled as a degenerate, and it's fine because I pretty much am. Listen, the first part is acknowledge is accepting who you are. And that's who I am. So with that being said, I'm all over the Blue Jays tonight, by the way, on the money line at +105. Let's be honest. This is a Yankees team that clinched last night. You think that we saw them downing the bubbly, right? We saw them downing the bubbly in the clubhouse. You don't think they celebrated last night? Hell yeah, they celebrated last night. So I'm all over the Blue Jays tonight. Of course, we got Gerrit Cole going. He's 12-7 with a 3.49 ERA. Here's the thing about Gerrit Cole tonight, by the way. He's five. Ooh, this is what I want to do. I want to call this up pitching prospects. So I'm going to play the over here. Hold on. Let me get this in. See, look, I am a degenerate. Am I not? I'm sitting here trying to get my wagers in while I'm hosting a show. It's called multitasking. So a few things. Number one, before, because we've got about a minute before first pitch, I'm all over about the Blue Jays because, again, the Yankees clinched. They probably celebrated last night. Meanwhile, this is a Blue Jays team still trying to clinch tonight for that wild card spot. You know, you've got a front office that called out Vlad. I think he responds tonight as well. And this is Gerrit Cole, who's given up 31 home runs so far this season. So I've got Vlad hitting a home run at 6-1 against Gerrit Cole tonight. I've got Gerrit Cole going over 7.5 strikeouts tonight at -120. Why? He's 5 strikeouts away from overpassing Ron Guidry with the single season record of 248. Also, I am going to put some coin on Aaron Judge hitting a home run tonight, and you could get that at +250. Why? Little nugget for you. His batting coach made the trip to Toronto. I bet you didn't even know. Did you guys even know? Did you even know that Aaron Judge has a batting coach outside of the Yankees facility?
So that makes sense to me. I just didn't think he would travel to Toronto necessarily and travel with the team because the team has their own staff.
I don't think he traveled with the team. I don't think he travels with the team.
Oh, so he just traveled separately then.
I think this is kind of like how Tom Brady has his own trainer who for a short period of stint, a cup of coffee, was allowed to set up his office in the Patriots facility. Remember that? And then that was all taken away and then all hell broke loose and Tom Brady wanted out. So kind of same philosophy, how Tom Brady has his own trainer, TB12, ooh la la, same philosophy. So I was just notified of this. I just stumbled upon this while I was at a tailgate party prior to the Giants Dallas Cowboys game. I was informed of this, and whenever this batting coach, this hitting coach that typically joins him on the road on occasion, wink, wink, the week after he spends time with this batting coach, apparently is when Aaron Judge goes off. It's a tweak. It's having like a 1975 Jaguar who every now and then needs a mechanic. Does that make sense? So he needs to be tweaked every now and then. And apparently this batting coach joins him on the road on occasion. And after he meets with this batting coach, apparently he goes on a tear. How about that? How about that for a little nugget tonight at 7:10 p.m. on a hump day?
I mean, listen, whatever it takes to keep Aaron Judge happy and re-sign with the Yankees. If they allow this, then hallelujah, great stuff. I mean, if it helps Aaron Judge, even better. If it helps him break the record and finally lets the Marises get to go home and enjoy some peace and quiet, then even better. You know what? I can actually get behind this then.
Yeah, so of course, we're talking about the record, and it's all about the record. And of course, we will stay on top of this the Yankees game, as well as the Mets game, but obviously the Yankees game, more important. Why? Because Aaron Judge is looking for that 61, and I bet he can't wait to hit it, because it's been too long, right? Seven straight games that he's been at 70, 11 walks in 30 plate appearances since he hit home run number 60, 33 pitches where only 14 of them were strikes. And this is his longest drought, by the way, of not hitting a home run is 9 games. And that happened in August. So this is 7 straight games right now. So it's not his longest drought, but it is a pretty long one, especially since we are just, I feel like each and every day we're just waiting, hanging, hoping for that 61 so that the Yankees and Aaron Judge can put this behind them and really start focusing on the postseason, right? We've got 8 games remaining. Now, here's my question mark, and I want to open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. Now that we got my degenerate bets in, which again, I'm on the Blue Jays at plus 105 on the money line. And also, I am going to throw some coin on Aaron Judge hitting the home run at plus 250. I'm going to throw some money on Aaron Judge hitting an RBI at plus 150. I've got Vlad hitting a home run at 6-1, and I've got Gerrit Cole over 7.5 strikeouts because he's 5 away from surpassing Ron Guidry of that single season record at 248. But with that being said, 8 games remaining. Will Aaron Judge play all 8 games? Listen, this is a team right now, the Yankees, they're resting a lot of their players. You see this lineup tonight? I mean, it's a bunch of no names. Besides Hicks, of course, and Donaldson. Okay. But we're not resting Judge. He is DHing, by the way. He's DHing tonight. But I'm sure that this is a Yankees organization that wants to rest him. And don't get me wrong. This feat is enormous. And I get it. Right? How many times, you know, will there ever be another Yankee that will be as close to Roger Maris' record than Aaron Judge is right now? No, probably not. Okay. I understand, but isn't it like bigger picture here for Yankee fans? Like, okay, we're 8 games away. Granted, yes, you can sleep easy at night knowing that they clinched the American League East, which means that they're going to get somewhat of a bye. It is. It is a bye. It's a bye because the wild card teams have to play a 3-game series. So you can say, come on, Anita, are you overreacting? Are you being a drama queen here? Because, you know, they do get a bye because they clinched the American League East. Okay, well, if I'm being a drama queen, then why are all the other players? Why is Stanton? Why are all the other players getting time off, rest time? Well, it's because the organization wants to support Aaron Judge in his quest to hit 61, if not 62. But is that compromising? Let's be honest. The reason that the Yankees are where they are right now is because such a historic season that Aaron Judge has been having. So, I understand and I respect the Yankees organization for what they're saying and what they're doing. But, you know, Yankee fans, does this not sit well with you? Or are you like, you know what? You have confidence that both can be achieved. That they won't rest Aaron Judge until he hits 62, whether that's tonight, tomorrow, 3 games from now, 4 games from now, there's 8 games remaining, and you're not worried about the load management, quote unquote, that the Yankees are having with the other players on this team, but not Aaron Judge because of his quest for 61-62. It's an interesting conversation to have. 800-919-3776. Okay? Let's have it when we get back. Anita Marks with you again, in for Dan Grasso tonight, here on 90.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You've got Donaldson and Peraza, of course, each with an RBI. So Aaron Judge, 4 walks last night. So as we know, he's stuck at 60. He's got 7 straight games. This will be the 8th, if he does not hit a home run tonight, that he will be stuck at 60. He, coming into this game, he has 11 walks and 30 at plate appearances since he hit number 60. So he was walked earlier tonight, so that's 12 walks in 31 plate appearances. 33 of his pitches have been strikes. And gentlemen, you have the game up in your studio, and Tom, if you can kind of share with our listeners, you know, so what are you seeing? How are you seeing Mitch White pitch to him tonight?
So first off, Yankees 3-0, sacrifice fly scores in Josh Donaldson.
There we go.
So Anthony Rizzo and Gleyber Torres, before I get to my thoughts, they're co-managing with Aaron Boone, sort of, and they are already Hall of Famers in my book as managers with this lead already. But from what I've seen from White and all of the other pitchers that have thrown to Judge in the recent days, they're throwing completely around him. They're giving him really only off-speed pitches to choose from, not a lot of drivable pitches in the middle of the zone like you might see in the regular season when there's not, I guess, so much at stake, really, but when you have more room to work with. So a lot of sliders, a lot of sinkers to Aaron Judge, and that results in a lot of walks, including the one in his leadoff at-bat tonight.
Also, keep in mind, guys, you know, because there's a lot of the starters are being rested, there's really no protection around him. And we talked about it over the weekend, and Harvey, I know you and I talked about it here in the break, and you said, you know, you felt that I was right in what I said on the weekend. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be in the record books that gives up 61 to Aaron Judge. There might be some dudes out there that are like, you know, I pitched to him and I failed, but at least I pitched to him.
Oh, you know, 100%. And I think the fact that, you know, whether it's like the ego of an athlete that just doesn't want to get defeated and be put on, like, I guess, the wrong side of history, eventually a pitcher would just like either lose control of one and it hangs up in the plate and it gets sent over the yard, and that could be 61. But once that happens, then nobody wants to be number 62, you know? So it's like, it becomes ever evolving. And now it's like, when pitchers are behind in the count, 3-1, 3-2, they're just going to walk Judge because they don't want to be put on, like, on a highlight for forever.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. Mitch White, by the way, 1-6 with a 5.12 ERA this season. So
he's pitching like it.
He is pitching like it, isn't he? He's not even, well, actually, into the first inning, and he gave up 2 hits, 3 runs, and 0 strikeouts, walked 2 as well. I'm sorry, 3 earned runs, 2 hits, and no strikeouts, but no home runs. And no home runs, of course, to Aaron Judge at his first at-bat. So we will keep you posted, of course, on that. And I'd love to hear from Yankee fans. 800-919-3776. And guys, I would love to hear from you as well. I don't want to leave you guys out of the show. And that is, you know, if you are a Yankees fan and the bigger picture to you, yeah, you know, you're excited for Aaron Judge. You want him to break Roger Maris's record. Maybe you don't. Maybe there's some people out there who are like, no, I don't want Aaron Judge to break his record. Okay, you're very few. You're an outlier. You're very few and far between. I think the majority of people out there are rooting for him to do so. But, you know, the bigger picture here is for this team to win a World Series. And you want the team to do what's right, to help the team and have the team in the best situation possible to do that. Hence why they're resting so many players, and we've got a lineup tonight that you're like, whoa, what? You know? But they're not resting Aaron Judge. Granted, you know, he's not playing the outfield, but he is definitely DHing. So, you know, I'm just curious. I would love to hear from some of our listeners out there. 800-919-3776. Does that not sit well with you? That would be tough for me if I was a fan of the Yankees. Because at the end of the day, the most important thing for me is that the team wins the World Series. Yes, I'm rooting for Aaron Judge to break the home run record. But at the end of the day, if you were to ask me what's more important, Anita, it's to win a World Series. Now, you could say, Anita, relax. You're being a drama queen. They could accomplish both. Okay. I'm curious. Harvey?
I would want every great thing possible to happen to the Yankees, including winning a World Series, whether it's Judge getting 61 or 62, whether it's Gleyber Torres continuing to become hot at the plate. He's rolling, by the way. He's been batting RBIs left and right. And my biggest thing, apart from the Judge thing tonight, is the man pitching tonight, Gerrit Cole, because he's been slumping. He, for some reason, can't keep the ball in the yard. He's been giving up home runs left and right. And against this Blue Jays lineup, I want him to see how he manages against this lineup, because I don't want him to, you know, go into the fifth inning with like 90 to 100 pitches, giving up RBIs and home runs. I need him to prove to me, or us Yankee fans in general, the ace, quote unquote ace, that he's meant to be, that he's meant to be paid of. So I need him to put up some zeros in this board tonight.
You know, another caveat here is it's not just the home run record that Aaron Judge is after. It's also winning the Triple Crown in the American League. And as we know, nobody's going to catch up to him in regard to home runs or RBIs, but it's all about his batting average. And he comes in here at 314. So I guess I'm just saying, this is just a lot for the Yankees to juggle with, in my opinion. Right. And you want to do what's best for the team, but you all also want to do what's right for your player. And And, you know, I think this could be, and I think this is a pretty difficult situation. Tom, agree or disagree? Okay, Tom's getting a call. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue with your calls. 800-919-3776. Also, David O'Brien, who covers the Atlanta Braves for The Athletic, joins me on the show as well. We're going to dive into, of course, the situation with the Mets and what's on the horizon because of the hurricane that's out there. Is it Ian? Is it Ian? I don't, everybody calls it something different, but regardless, I'm sitting here, I'm in the studio, I'm hosting, but I also, on one of my TVs, I have, the news on, and it's just, it's a horrible, horrible storm. But what does this mean for the Atlanta Braves? What does this mean for the Mets in that series? We're going to dive into that as well. So we'll get your calls when we get back. Frank, you'll be first up, 800-919-3776. And then I want to switch gears and I want to talk about the Mets and the Atlanta Braves, because that series is probably one of the most important series that is going to be played out for the remainder of the regular season, and what's going to dictate who wins the National League East and what that means in regard to the seeding as we get closer to the postseason. So we'll dive out all into all of that next. And I'm really excited. David O'Brien is going to join us as well here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's get to your calls. 800-919-3776. We go to Frank in Tom's River. Good evening, Frank. How you doing?
Hey, Anita. How's it going? Great show.
Thank you.
I wanted to say something. I think that your listeners will disagree with me, but I think Aaron Judge should have been rested tonight also.
Yeah, Frank, listen, I hear you again, because the big picture here is for this team to win a World Series. And let's be honest, they wouldn't be where they are today if it wasn't for Judge. But you're going against what you would do because you want to support him in his quest for 61, right? Like, it's
right. But you know what? With two nights off, I'm thinking he'll 8 more games to go. He has at least 2 or 3 more home runs than him. Or even more. I mean, but he's been going for like the last few nights. I could see he's getting tired out there. You know, he's been out there every day. He's getting tired.
Right. Frank, solid call. Appreciate it. And as I said, if you're just tuning in now, I got a little nugget. I was at a Tisa tailgate on Monday night for the Giants Dallas Cowboys game. And was there with a few Yankee players, ex-Yankee players. And apparently Aaron Judge has a hitting coach that occasionally joins him when he's on the road. This is outside of the Yankees hitting coach. And whenever he spends some time with this Yankees coach, the next series after that, he unleashes. So hold on 1 second. Let's take a look at the schedule. Because maybe it's not this series, but what is coming up? So maybe it's against Baltimore, right? I don't know. Listen, hopefully he hits it tonight. It's not like Mitch White is the end all be all of starting pitchers in Major League Baseball, right? Like I said, what is he? 1-6 with a 5.12 ERA. Here's the thing though, and we've been talking about this, like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy that gives up 61 or gives up 62. And as of right now, Aaron Judge has 12 walks in 31 plate appearances since he hit number 60. Is that going to continue tonight? But typically the trend is when his batting coach joins him on the road, the next series is when he unleashes. So will it be against the Baltimore Orioles back in New York on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? It's a good possibility. It's a good possibility, right? Let's go to Wilson in Roxbury. Wilson, welcome in. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Anita, how you doing? Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you about Daniel Jones, okay? Because I got to hear all the time, well, we don't know if it's a franchise quarterback, so if we don't know by now, then he's not the guy. Let me tell you something. If Daniel Jones wasn't playing against the Dallas Cowboys this past Monday, the score would have been 40-10. I'm gonna give you eight names, and then I'll hear, and then I hang up. I'll give you, obviously, Tom Brady and Rodgers. I'll give you Kyler Murray. I'll give you Justin Herbert. I'll give you Josh Allen. I'll give you Joe Burrow. I'll even give you Trevor Lawrence, okay? That's 9 out of the 32 quarterbacks. Find me another quarterback that is so much better, like head and toes over Daniel Jones after those 8 quarterbacks. And I was looking, and I'd rather have Daniel Jones. I mean, he's a 6'5 quarterback, right, with a great arm. And they compare him to Ryan Tannehill. He's a much better athlete than Ryan Tannehill, and he's got a stronger arm. So I don't know what Giants fans want. Not everybody could be Patrick Mahomes. What do you think, Anita?
Yeah, Wilson, it's a solid call. I'm going to get into some Daniel Jones talk, and I appreciate it. I'm going to get into some Daniel Jones and some Giants talk in our second hour. So please stay tuned to that. But I'm with you, especially, you know, granted, yeah, the Giants lost on Monday night against the Dallas Cowboys, but I don't know very many quarterbacks that would have been able to sustain and be able to complete the passes and execute the athleticism that we saw from Daniel Jones against that pass rush. So, but we'll be getting into some NFL talk in the second hour. Quick break. We come back. David O'Brien from The Athletic is going to join me. Let's talk about the Mets and what's going on with the hurricane and how that's going to affect their series against Atlanta next, here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to 98.7 ESPN. Anita Marks with you, in for Dan Grassa tonight, and talking all things Major League Baseball as, of course, the Mets, a very, how would I explain it? What adjective would I use? A stressful last few games of the season, and many people feel that it's going to come down to that 3-game series against Atlanta to decide who wins the National League East and who gets in as that wild card spot. David O'Brien, who covers the Atlanta Braves for The Athletic, is joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. David, welcome in. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm great. Like, you know, it's interesting that in listening to a few of the Mets players talk about, you know, the remaining games of the season, they're calling it exciting, electric. Like, you know, a part of me, like, and you know, I'm an athlete. I get it. I love competition. I definitely rise to the occasion. I get what they're feeling. But a part of me is like, wow, it must be so much nicer to, like, be able to, like, cruise into the postseason like a team like the Yankees, right? Like a team like the Astros, like a team like the Dodgers, who've already, like, won their division, right?
Well, I would have to disagree, only because I've seen the Braves so many times, especially back in the 90s, when they clinched as early as the Dodgers did this year. And almost every time that when they tried to flip the switch and go back to intense mode when the postseason started, they failed to do it, and they usually fell behind, lose the first game of the series in the first series, and then they're playing catch-up the rest of the way, as opposed to when they'd gone in, when they've been pushed all the way to the end. Brian Snitker, the manager, talked about that this afternoon. He said he prefers this. He'd rather be on edge to the end and go in playing your best ball and not have time to relax and set your rotation and everybody rest. I don't think it's a coincidence so many teams have gone in as wild cards and done so much damage. I think 3 or 4 at least have won the World Series. The Marlins have won the World Series twice. They've never won a division title in their history.
It's great insight. And yeah, you're definitely onto something. And I totally can see where you're coming from. Before we start talking about the postseason, let's talk about what the Braves have been able to do, right? Like, they've won 4 straight. And, you know, they've had a great, after the trade deadline, and I should say after, like, right, like, they brought up some guys from the farm system that obviously have contributed. Kind of talk about the switch, right? Like talk about the switch. What is making this Braves team have such a different second half of the season than they did in the first?
Well, it really started at the end of May. The first 2 months were bad. They were 23 and 27, I think, at the end of May. And they were really getting nothing out of the center field position. Ronald Acuna Jr. was on the IL. And when they brought him back, they didn't want to play him in center field. They were going to play him in right field or DH him. So they were getting nothing out of center field. And then they had injuries. Adam Duvall was struggling, and then he got hurt. So they made the move that surprised a lot of us and brought up Michael Harris II, who was their top position player prospect, but who'd only played about 40 games in AA and none above that. And they brought him straight to the majors, put him in center field. He's played every game, and he's been outstanding. And he's going to win. If he doesn't win Rookie of the Year, his teammate Spencer Strider will win it. But it's going to be 1-2, those guys. And Strider, at the same time that Harris came up at the end of May, May 28th, Harris came up, to be specific, Strider moved from the bullpen to the starting rotation. And he was a strikeout machine in the bullpen, and they moved him over the rotation to kind of solidify the back of the rotation. And he's been dynamite. And he's on the IL right now, but he'll be back for the postseason. But he was the fastest to 200 strikeouts in Major League history, for beating Randy Johnson's record from back in the day when Randy had 300-some strikeouts. He got there 200 strikeouts in 130 innings. I mean, he's been phenomenal. So those two, I would say, have been the biggest reasons for the turnaround, which started in June. Started June 1st. They've won 14 in a row, and they haven't looked back since then. So that's really when it started, well before the All-Star break. But that was the biggest thing. If I had to point a finger on one thing, it'd be those two guys, those two rookies.
Yeah, Magic Mike is a lot of folks like to call him. And you were talking about Strider. So give us an update in regard to he's dealing with an oblique injury, right?
Yeah, it's not anything serious. At least I don't think so. I think if it was more precautionary, and it was also a good way for them to, he's about 30, 35 innings over his career high that he set last year. This is only his second professional season, because he was drafted in the year the pandemic, didn't have a minor league season. And this is his second pro season. And last year, this is a kid who started last year in low A, got promoted four times in 1 year, which is almost unheard of, and made his major league debut in the last weekend of last season. And he ended up with 95 innings or whatever. And this year he's got 130-something. So this was a good way to kind of curtail that, give him a little rest, and have him ready for the postseason. He didn't feel a tear or anything like that. It was more soreness in his left side. And he did it. He felt it after a game in which he had 10 strikeouts in six innings or to set that record that I was talking about. So the next day was a little sore. So I think he'll be fine when the postseason starts, but they shut him down to make sure that he'd be ready.
Again, David O'Brien joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. He covers the Braves for The Athletic. And so now you've got a Mets team. Unfortunately, they lost to Miami last night, 6-4. Carrasco struggling as of late, was only able to get through three innings. His curveball has been lost, and he's been dealing with an oblique as well. But of course, you have an Atlanta team that won yesterday. So now these two teams, really, I said this months ago, right? Like, I truly believe it's going to come down to this three-game series. But a big reason why I wanted to have you on tonight was to talk about Hurricane Ian and Ian, and what's happening. Of course, it's down in South Florida, but of course, it's going to make its way north, and Atlanta's going to get some issues from it. So what are you hearing in regard to what you think Major League Baseball is going to do about this three-game series? Both these teams have Thursday off. Do they move it up to Thursday? Do they move it somewhere else?
They're not talking about moving. No, they're not going to do either of those things, because the Braves have already played. After tonight, they'll have played 13 games in a row. The Mets had 2 days off in the last week. So it's a competitive disadvantage for the Braves with pitching and all that. The Braves have sold out all three games because they've had almost 40 sellouts this year at home. And a lot of people down here bought tickets in Atlanta, have bought tickets to that series and been aiming for it for a long time. And I know you can't make decisions based just on that, but if you bought a ticket for that series and you've been aiming for it, you're going Saturday or Sunday, whatever, to all of a sudden tell somebody it's going to be played Thursday, it's a little rough. So if they can avoid doing that, they're going to do that. And but bigger reason is, you know, like I said, they've got 13 straight games, and if they play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that, you know, they're going to have to play 16 straight games, and it's a little hard on the pitching at this point of the season to do that if you don't have to. So if they were going to play Thursday, they would have already said it. You know, Major League Baseball is not going to say at midnight tonight we're playing tomorrow. So I would be shocked if it was rescheduled for Thursday. Now, they could move it up to Friday afternoon instead of Friday night to make sure they get it in before we get to start getting the effects of the, you know, it's going to be mostly rain and some wind here probably. And, you know, the reason they haven't done anything yet is because the storm is tracking differently than it was a few hours ago. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you can plan ahead all you want, but if the storm moves all of a sudden, you change these games and you didn't have to, you know, it's going to be pretty bad. I mean, they're going to move it to a neutral site. I mean, the Braves are not going to give up 42,000 fans, 42,000 capacity sold out games and play at a neutral site. That's a lot of money. Not to mention the competitive disadvantage you're at by not playing those games at home when you played all those games in New York already. So that's not going to happen. I mean, I would be really surprised if that happened. It's happened before, but not in such a huge series at the end of the season that's going to decide a division title with all sellouts. I mean, I was covering a Marlins team when they had a series canceled one time when a hurricane was approaching, but that's an entirely different animal. You know, it was earlier in the season, you know, there wasn't a division race on the line and all that. So from people I talked to, that's not really being considered seriously. What they might do is move the game up Friday and play possibly a split doubleheader on Sunday if they have to, because if it does hit here, it's going to probably be Saturday. I mean, that's what the forecast calls for right now, and Sunday should be okay. And they're scheduled to play Sunday night right now, so it wouldn't be hard to make that a split doubleheader and play 1-7 on Sunday. And get all your gate. You still get your 42,000 tickets.
Got it. Listen, it's all about the Benjamins, right, David? It's all about
it is. I mean, let's not kid ourselves, you know? And that game's on TV on ESPN Sunday night, too, as well. So, I mean, it's just logistically, I understand, as much as we can sit here and say it would just make so much more sense to play tomorrow and play a doubleheader Friday, and then you got all the games in, and then it doesn't matter what happens Saturday and Sunday. But it's just not that easy when you're talking about games of this magnitude. This is not, you know, the Braves playing the Marlins in front of 12,000 people in Miami, you know.
No, absolutely not, because so much is riding on this. Obviously, the winner wins the National League East, and then we'll face
right.
either
and they're not gonna move the game to New York. I heard some people say that. Why don't they just play the game in New York? Well, yeah, I'm sure the Mets would love to play the game in New York, play the whole series in New York, but that's not going to happen.
I'm sure they would. And again, so much riding on this, especially because the Dodgers are the best team. Some would argue, right? In Major League Baseball. So the winner, of course, you know, gets that wild card, you know, gets
it's
that first round bye.
Getting that bye this year has probably never been more important than it is in this particular case. The difference between getting the first round bye and having to play that series and use two or all three of your best starters in a wild card series, and then face the Dodgers with your number three or your number four starter going in game one. I mean, that's a rough task right there. So the difference is just monumental. And you might have a team you feel like can really win the World Series, but you're totally at a disadvantage if you're, you know, going up against the Dodgers with your back of your rotation guy going against their number one.
Exactly. So again, just to kind of paint the picture for our listeners out there, so whoever wins the National League East, of course, avoids the wild card three-game series, gets to sit back and wait to see who wins between. If the season was to end today, and let's say the Mets win the National League East, then they would sit back and wait and to see who they play between the Phillies and the Cards. Meanwhile, the Padres and the Braves would battle it out in the wild card, and whoever wins that would then have to take on the Dodgers. So obviously, it's just it's so monumental. Yep.
Right. And the Braves also get another 3 or 4 days rest for Spencer Strider. We were talking about him earlier. I mean, that's really another week's rest for him. They could put him and slide him in the number three spot if they wanted to for a division series if they had a wild card berth. So they're talking about another whole week for him to rest that oblique. So, I mean, it's just really big, the difference, the odds of getting to the World Series and winning it, I would say, are drastically affected by whether or not you have to play that first round in this particular year, in this case, in the
Absolutely.
Opponent that is waiting in round two.
David O'Brien joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, covering the Atlanta Braves for The Athletic. Just really quick before we let you go, the pitching rotation expected in this series against Atlanta, Bassett, DeGrom, and Scherzer, who are they going to be going up against in those three games?
You got Fried, Wright, and Charlie Morton. Because Strider would be the number, would be in there probably if he wasn't hurt. But Charlie Morton is your third guy.
Ooh, this is going to be so Morton and Morton and Max. Morton versus Max. Sunday night on ESPN.
He still had some big games, but he still has a big game now and then. He's not the Charlie of last year even, but he's had some really good games and he usually steps up and he's a postseason pedigree. It's pretty rich, so we'll see if he can step up Sunday night. I mean, it's not definitive. It's not definite. They could alter it and move. All the guys have rest, normal rest or more rest, so they could switch it up if they wanted to and have him go on Saturday if they wanted to. But that's the way it shapes up right now.
Right. Thank you, David. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening. I so appreciate it. In previewing what's going on with the Braves and how exciting this series is going to be. Please,
right.
You and your family, please be safe with this hurricane. And let's hope it works out the way that you're anticipating it to work out, where maybe they move the game up on Friday, get it played, everybody hunker down through Saturday, and then play two games on Sunday. We'll see if that's exactly how it pans out. David, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you. David O'Brien joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Phone lines are open, 800-919-3776. Anita Marks with you. You want to chime in? Mets fans, your thoughts. Of course, the importance of this Mets team. Like I said, man, you lose. Whew. Now you've got to play a three-game series for the wild card. And if you do win, more than likely against the Padres, then you have to travel to Los Angeles to take on the Dodgers. Boy, this three-game series against Atlanta is going to be so uber important. 800-919-3776. Anita Marks with you, 98.7 ESPN.